Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you on this Sunday, the 1st of September. Yes, it is the first day of a new month and the summer is coming to an end. I even see leaves beginning to turn colour outside my apartment window. While we may still be in the season of summer, there are all kinds of seasons of life that happen at all times of the year. The book of Ecclesiastes puts it like this: "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build." Whatever the season of life you are in this day, we hope this broadcast of the Word of Grace encourages you and blesses you. It is conveyed to you by the congregation and friends of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, of whom I, Nigel Parker, am the minister.
God, help me, angels, past far or far.
Let us pray. Eternal God, you create us and you rescue us. Be here with us now. Help us know how much we need you. Teach us that no other power can support us like your power. As you share your power with us, teach us to be Christ to the world, proclaiming your reign for all people. As you lavish your love upon us, help us receive that love and offer it to the world. Creating and rescuing God, your power amazes us. Yet even in our amazement, we take too long to turn to you, forgetting that you are the power that makes and saves and sustains us. Even when we claim your power, we often do so for our own success and comfort, ignoring your command to use your power on behalf of the weak, the small, and the vulnerable. In Jesus Christ, you show us that you are on the side of all people, but never at the expense of the weakest among us. Forgive us when we try to hoard you for ourselves and try to control who has access to your love. Forgive us when our greed, our control, and our scandals keep others from knowing you. Redeem us and transform us, Lord. Open our hearts, our lives, and our ministries that we may become a doorway to your kingdom and realm. God turns our sorrow into gladness, our times of mourning into celebration. God hears the prayer of faith. Let us be confident as we pray for one another, for God heals us and forgives us. When we're rescued from danger and trouble, we know the peace of Jesus Christ. When we're welcomed into the reign of God, we know the peace of Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through him. Amen. In these Sunday mornings, we've been looking at a collection of some of the Psalms called the Songs of Ascents. They are from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. They were the marching songs, the hymns that pilgrims would sing on their journey. Their journey to where? Up to Jerusalem, the temple, the place where God had made himself known. And we've followed the themes in these past Sundays. To look up from despair in Psalm 120, to look to the hills, to look to the temple, to look to the church, and last week to look up to Jesus. Today we have Psalm 124, to which, for this series, we might give the title look up to the past, and that is what the author is saying here in Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us, the torrent would have swept over us, the raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us to be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped, and our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Amen.
I smile when I remember all the things we did, the worlds we discovered when I was a kid. Sitting on your shoulders, I was riding high. All of life before me, I could see for miles. You gave me a life to love. Hard times come for everyone. were done.
It looks cool in the movies to be dejected and misunderstood. In the film Message in a Bottle, Kevin Costner plays a lead character, Garrett Blake, who is still in love with his late wife, and he sends bottles out on the ocean as a way of trying to connect with her. Those bottles were picked up by a journalist, Teresa Osborne, played by Robin Wright Penn. And you maybe know that there's a love story in that. Not in the regular kind of way, for in the end, Garrett is killed in a storm at sea. However, on his body, they found a last letter that he had written to his late wife, Catherine. He wrote that he had found someone else, Teresa, who has become as dear to him as Catherine had been. He decided to start a new life with her and ask for his late wife Catherine's blessing. Although devastated by Garrett's death, Teresa comes back contented, stating that although this experience left her in grief, it helped her to feel the most important thing in life. As I say, it looks cool in the movies to be dejected and misunderstood, but it's not so cool in real life. The poets of old got it right. There's a balance. Lamentation and mourning help us to look to the Lord for mercies that are new with the morning sun. A broken heart, even broken faith, encourages us to look for brighter days and a brighter light. And so the progression from Psalm 120 to 124 is important. And in 124, we get to see the mourning turning to dancing, crying turning to laughter, fears to relief. In this Psalm 124, David, or the author of the psalm, looks to the past to recount the victories of old. I think we could safely say that just by sheer numbers, the world could overwhelm us. For each listener to this broadcast, there is a narrative of defeat or discouragement somewhere in the story. This Psalm 124 should remind us and inspire us to remember to look to the past for the victories of old. In fact, that's kind of the point of it. And then, having reminded ourselves of those stories, to put our trust and our confidence in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And that's the direction where we're headed. Look to the past. Look to the victory of God in the past. Take courage for the present. So first, let's do as David encourages us to do. Let's suppose, let's imagine, if the Lord had not been on our side, what if? David almost wants the people to get involved. He says, if the Lord had not been on our side, let the people say. And then it would be the people's turn, our turn to say, if the Lord had not been on our side, as a kind of sort of responsive liturgy, if you like, perhaps. Well, David wants us to consider this terrifying prospect. What if the shepherd stops tending his sheep? What if the Lord had not been there? What if he hadn't helped us? How would the stories be different if the Lord had not showed up? Or just think what happened in Israelite history when the Lord turned his face away. We can find in various stories, in 2 Samuel 15, for example, we read of Absalom's coup. When David had turned his back on the Lord's ways, it set the stage for a divided kingdom. And by 1 Kings 11, the Lord had raised up Jeroboam and Rehoboam and laid the foundations truly for a divided kingdom. And by 2 Kings 17, Israel, the northern kingdom, had been taken into captivity and exile. And then years later, as Judah drinks the last dregs of their idolatry, the people are carried into exile. But God does rescue. God does save. Have you got a story like that? When God delivered you? When God rescued you? Do you remember? Do you look to the past? Do you give thanks? Can you see the Lord's fingerprints on circumstances in your life when there seemed no possibility of human hope, suddenly, somehow, there was an intervention? David knew that grace and mercy and salvation and the great escape that the Lord provided him. And one of the benefits of recounting specific instances, specific times when the Lord provides us an escape, is that when someone tells us a good story, don't you begin to think, oh yeah, that happened to me too. Oh yeah, I remember that story. Yeah, let me tell you how this happened, how the Lord did that for me. That's one of the great benefits of recounting the stories of old. Secondly, the psalmist reminds us that the Lord is on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? And that's the testimony of the church. How do we know that God is for us? The Apostle Paul wrote, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" John Newton penned these lines based on Psalm 91. "In vain the fowler spreads his net to draw them from your care. Your timely call instructs their feet to shun the artful snare. When like a baneful pestilence, sin mows its thousands down on every side without defence." But then he closes his verse this way, "But his grace secures his own." I've said before, and I will say it again, following Jesus is not a ticket to an easy life. It is taking up a cross, denying oneself, losing your life to find it. And if the Lord we follow bore the emblem of suffering and shame, will we not do so also? Yet we have this hope, that the one who put an end to sin by the cross and who conquered the grave by resurrection is the God who is for us. When we know that he is for us, we can be fearless. No matter how dark the situation or how difficult the problem, we can be sure of this. God has the ability, the power, and the answer to put us over. He is for us. Now, of course, we may miss this and sin, but God is for us even when we do miss it. John was writing to Christian folk when he wrote, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God wants to help us and restore us when we miss it. He wants to lift us up even when we stumble and fall. God is for us. And then we come to verse 8, and the meaning here is very clear, that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Wouldn't it be great if we just had songs like Psalm 124, songs of victory and triumph? But life is not like that. We need Psalms like 120 to remind us of the depths we've come from. "Woe to me that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Woe to me that I have the dwelling in Meshech." We need the Psalms like that to lead us to the remembrance of Psalm 124. Isn't a cup of cold water nice after sweltering in the heat? Aren't autumn rains refreshing after the heat roasting temperatures of summer? Isn't it great? Isn't a cup of hot chocolate just the best thing after shoveling snow or sledding down the hills? If we were always blessed in this life, always satisfied with hot chocolate or cool water, would we be as adept to rise up and call God blessed? Or do you think self-sufficiency and self-gratification and self-worship might begin to creep in? Sometimes we need a Psalm 40 to help us to cry out to the Lord, "Drag me out of this pit, please, O Lord." And we need a Psalm 124 to remind us just who it is who rescues us. When defeated in the present, we look to the past to remember the victories of God. And so we have hope.
Can I?
soul of thirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see.
We give you all thanks and praise, O God, for in love and mercy you have rescued us from all that would harm us or lead us to destruction. The earth and the sky were created by your hands. The seasons turn at your ordering. You committed yourself in love to your people and saved them from the teeth of their enemies. When we had wandered into the pathways of death, you heard our plea for life and came to save us in your Son, Jesus Christ. He was killed by those who block the paths of the humble, but you raised him back to life and sent your Spirit to fill us with your love and mercy and an uncompromising passion for righteousness. We pray this day for those whose bodies, minds, and souls are in pain, for those struggling with physical or mental illness, for people who experience violence in their relationships, in their home, workplace, community or country, for those who have been displaced by war, unjust economic systems, the climate crisis and ongoing impacts of colonization around the world. We pray for all those returning to educational establishments at this season of the year, in high schools, in institutions of higher and further education. Watch over, keep and guard, and shape these young minds that they might be led to a place to seek after you as the source of all knowledge and beginning. And hear us now as further we pray together in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Lord Jesus, He will fix it for you. Oh, what He knows and just what to do. Oh, will you pray? Oh, let Him have the
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.